Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine. Located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Serving up all your finest wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them for some great live music this week. On Thursday, April 11th, Phil Wright and Carson Mann will be out there. On Friday, April 12th, The Scandaleros. And on Saturday, April 13th, Diesel Island. You can find all this and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I return to Naked Vine with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase on May 14th with Billy Crogan and Tony Compton of Les Gruff and the Billy Goat, along with Karen Choi. Do not miss that show. It's going to be a great night. $5 at the door, 7 o'clock start. Again, we do that every second Tuesday of the month. So join us at Naked Vine. Also want to tell you about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club. Head on over to josephmeyerclub.com right now and try out their brand new foaming aftershave. You can try it with an exclusive 20% off at checkout using my promo code RPPJMC20 during checkout. So remember, there's always free shipping on that. So give it a try. Tell them Shane sent you. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Chris Griffith. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Thanks. This I know, that love's not blind. Looking for a reason why that this won't end with your typical goodbyes. But I can't see the forest for the leaves. This don't look good for you or for me. Never had this urge to leave or roam. Call it a day, try to step lightly upon these eggs, the mess is unsightly. between the lines. Today's gossip is tomorrow's headlines. Who are you? What's with me? I look at life for what it could be. I never listen to what's inside. This makes for trouble. I'm horrified. Remember my birthday, forget my age, and close the book on this silly crusade. Close the book on this silly crusade.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Chris Griffith. Welcome to the show, my friend.
You bet. It's great to be here.
Yeah, man. This is cool. Anybody that's been following this show for a while, you've probably heard me say this a bunch, but I started a lot of these shows this way lately, that meeting people for the first time on the mic, and that's again the case today. We've been having a good time hanging out, getting to meet before pressing record, but I thought this would be a lot of fun to get to meet you and get to share some of your stories and songs, and we did some live jamming, which was a lot of fun too. And we just recently became friendly online, and I know we have a bunch of mutual friends and stuff. So, this is a good way for me to, like I said, sit down and get to know more about what you're up to, and like I said, getting to share those stories and stuff. So, take me back, man, the beginning. Like, where does Chris Griffith grow up? And from St. Louis originally, or
From St. Louis originally, grew up in Florissant, back in the previous century, and I started playing when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, was it a family thing or?
No, I was the only musician in the family. I'm the oldest and the second oldest. He is an artist, and he's a very talented artist, lives in Milwaukee now. And then we had a younger brother, and I don't think he ever did much playing. Or he might have tried it, but didn't really take to the playing. But I was one of those guys. I mean, I started off, I took some lessons. I played, I was a garage band guy. I played electric guitar. And I think I'm the perfect example of somebody that just kind of did it for fun. Mm-hmm. Played in bands. I was a kid growing up in, like I said, in North County. And I'd get together with my two friends, which these two guys are still playing music in St. Louis. Got a drummer named Ron Crazer and a bass player named Ron Vitale. And we would play for 2 or 3 hours in the basement, and then we'd get on our bikes and we'd ride around our bikes and do kid stuff right. That you do on bikes. And that was it. I think I was a very average guitar player. Like I said, just did it for the fun. When I was in high school, I heard this album. A friend of mine, I was over at his house. He said, "Hey, listen to this new album." And it's the first group other than the Beatles to record on Apple on their own label. And it was this guy named James Taylor, and playing the acoustic guitar. And that's really when I fell in love with the guitar. It was not the electric, mm-hmm. but the acoustic guitar. And so I end up going out and getting me one. And that's when I started playing with my fingers. And there's an instrumental on that album called Greensleeves, an old traditional. And so I learned that, and that kind of took me down the road of exploring that type of music. I became very interested in playing with my fingers. I went on to study classical guitar for a few years. Was in the program at UMSL. Had a teacher from Wash U. Realized that I really wasn't cut out for classical guitar. My hands aren't big enough, and my personality's not big enough either. And so I stopped with the classical guitar, but a lot of the techniques that I use, I learned studying classical guitar. Ended up moving to Nebraska when I was 21. I just packed up everything and I took a summer job in Nebraska, and I didn't come back for close to 10 years. And while I was in Nebraska, then I started doing some singer-songwriter type stuff up there. Lived in Lincoln and played in some of the local places. The most famous one, which is still there, which I'm shocked, it's a place called the Zoo Bar. And I used to play there during the week. And then they'd have, they'd bring in kind of big name blues people on the weekends. Saw people like Buddy Guy and Stevie Ray Vaughan. And so that's where I started. And I did that, did the singer-songwriter thing till I was about almost 30. And then my daughter was born, and I packed the guitars up, and I didn't touch them for 19 years.
Wow.
And then when my youngest, my son, when he turned 16 and got a car, he didn't need dad to take him everywhere. So I was kind of bored, and I started playing again. And so I've been playing a bunch since then.
Yeah. You, that's crazy to think that you would just shelf it for, you know, almost.
I think in 19 years, I bet I played 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And one of them was for a wedding, for a friend of my wife's. And I just went out and noodled some instrumentals, but that was pretty much it. I just didn't have time.
I mean, sure.
When you have kids, you don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah, I get a lot of that. My buddies, they obviously, I'm 33, and all my friends are, at that point having babies and things, and they all look at me like, how do you do that, man? How do you do all this stuff you do? And I'm like, well, I don't have babies. That's a big part of it.
It is a big part of it.
I get, I don't knock anybody that they're always like, man, I wish I could come out, but I got, this and this. And I'm like, I don't feel bad about it, that they didn't make it. I understand that family isn't very important and stuff. That's definitely your priority and stuff. But it's just like I said, my life's completely different than theirs. That I don't have to those responsibilities yet.
What's really cool now is that my grandsons will come out and hear me play.
Yeah. So
if my grandsons are tapping their toes to a song, I know that that my goal has been achieved.
Sure. Are you educating them on some of the good stuff?
You know, they're not interested right now. They're 8 and 10, and they're not interested in learning how to play. But we do. I play music, and we make up songs.
All right.
And they really like that. They like it when I make up songs about them. And my oldest one, I've been doing it since he was a little kid. And we'll just make up songs about what they did, and we'll sing about it. And they seem to find that very, very fascinating.
Sure.
So we do that. And I got egg shakers and tambourines, and they like to play that, so we have some fun.
Yeah. Well, when I grew up, my dad played a little guitar and played a little harmonica and stuff. Actively was played out with harmonica, playing in some bluegrass stuff, and more setting in with different bands and stuff like, so he was doing that, but every now and then we'd like get the guitar out or something, and we'd hang around and on a Saturday morning or something, and he'd start playing. And I remember, me and my brother, we'd sit around. We didn't play, but we'd start singing, and we always joked that we had like a family band thing going. And but it was, it was a ton of fun. We used to have a really good time with it. It was something I really enjoyed then, but it wasn't like I actively pursued it afterwards. It wasn't like I just never had a natural knack to play or sing or anything, but we had a good time.
Well, I believe I'm the perfect example of, a lot of people say, oh, I want my kid to play, but they're really not committed to it. And I just say, let them play as much as they want to play, or as little. And someday, just like for me, when I heard that acoustic guitar and James Taylor, this was before James Taylor was James Taylor, that first album, but I was hooked. And that's, but that was 7 years after I first started playing.
Sure.
And I was an okay guitar player. I didn't work real hard at it. I did it for fun. And so I'm a firm believer in you do it for fun, and then if it becomes a passion, so much the better. And it has been a passion of mine. And while I was raising the kids, I kind of missed it, but I really enjoyed raising kids.
So. Yeah. So well, yeah, fun. And now you're kind of getting the best of both worlds, being grandpa and getting to play. And
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And last week, my daughter was out at one of our gigs, and because she's got the two sons, she doesn't get to come out much, and it was a real treat. And my daughter hadn't heard my trio, Main Street Remnant. She hadn't heard them for a while, or I don't know if she's ever heard us. But anyway, she, you know, it was fun to play for my daughter. It's fun to play for your family.
Yeah.
You know?
You're in Nebraska then still?
I was in Nebraska until 1983.
And you, so your daughter, your kids are grown and you start playing again.
You bet.
When do you decide, like, this is something I need to start, you know, getting back out and doing shows and get?
Well, so right around 2000, I started playing again. Which, if you do all this math, I'm really old. but I started playing again in 2000. Got kind of serious about it in 2001. Had gone to some open mics and really got the bug to play in front of people again. Now, if that wouldn't have worked, I'd still be in my little studio here playing my brains out. It's fun to play for people. It's fun to play for people and get a few bucks doing it. That almost seems illegal, which I kind of get a charge out of that. But my big thing, I've got some friends that they live to write songs. And, I mean, that's it. That's all I want to do is write and record them. And I'm not knocking that. I think it's a great focus. For me, I like writing songs. I like coming up with the songs. But for me, the big thrill that I get is to play music out in front of people and make that just make that connection and communicate with people through songs. I love doing my own songs, but I love taking somebody else's song and making it, putting my fingerprints all over that song. And so I really enjoy that. But I do enjoy that interaction. And some venues in this town are better for that than others. Some places, when I do instrumental music, I'm mostly background music. I recently played the Soulard Art Gallery for an opening background music. But still, I get to play my songs and I end up talking to a lot of people. So I really enjoy that. Enjoy just a lot of the aspects of... it's interesting to see how people relate to music. Sometimes you'll play one of these gigs, and or as we call them now, shows. and you'll think, nobody even knows I'm here. You know, and you can get kind of down on yourself and kind of beat yourself up. What I've learned is that every time you play, you have no idea whether somebody's listening or not. And I've had people come up and say, oh, you did this song or that song, or I really like this that you did. And, you know, and so it's kind of, I really get a kick out of trying to weasel my way into somebody's evening.
Right. Yeah.
At least that's my take on it. And it's been very surprising and really just kind of a nice feeling to have, to think, hey, yeah, people are enjoying this.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. I've been trying to bring that back a little bit. We've talked off mic about this singer-songwriter showcase I've been putting on, and that's kind of the thing. Like, I treat that as a listening room experience thing. I know there's some other, you know, it's not a brand new idea, but like I've been trying to do my own version of that, and that's the thing, is like I want people to listen to these songs and stories and listen to the actual music, because there's so much of it that where we've kind of gotten away from, like, people just talk at shows all the time and talk over all of it, and it's like, but it used to be that's the way it used to be. People used to actually like engage in the show and then listen to these songs and then when people were done playing, they would, you know, clap and you know, And that's the way it's a piece of art, you know. It's like you don't go to the movies or whatever and talk the whole time, or you really shouldn't be doing that either. And whatever it is, whatever the, you know, you should respect it as it is. And then, but I don't know. I don't get why people want to talk the whole time during.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, I get it in some of the places that I play. Coffee house.
Sure.
But it is fun to do a listening room.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently played in St. Charles County Library. And I was real disappointed when they said, well, we just want you to play an hour. You know, I had 2 hours of stuff lined up. But it was really fun to play those songs and kind of tell the background behind, you know, some of the songs that I've written.
Yeah.
And I think it ends up meaning a little bit more to people. My favorite performances are just, you know, a person and their instrument, mm-hmm. you know, mostly guitar for me. But for somebody to just go out, you know, not a full band, not that I have anything against full bands. I love playing in groups. But I like seeing the stripped down versions
yeah.
of how these songs came about. That's, to me, that is, that's the real deal, you know.
Yeah, man, I love that stuff. I mean, that's, again, kind of the backbone of this podcast, too. I love getting, you know, guys on to play live and stuff. It was exactly what we did today. We did some stripped down acoustic live in the studio down here.
You bet.
And let's talk about one of these. You played New Ground, which is the title track of your record.
That's right.
So let's talk about this song.
Recorded that in, or it was released in April of 2016. And that song is a fairly old song that I wrote. You know, I don't know how all songwriters do it, but I'm looking for ideas constantly. I've got notebooks and pencils and cars and, you know, I try to keep with me. I was driving down I-64, and I drove by this building, and it said New Ground on it. And then I saw the newspaper, and there was an article, and it said, New Ground is breaking new ground on a new building. And I went, oh, that's a good idea for a song. And so I put that in a metaphor of a love relationship, and, you know, being done with that, I'm going to go somewhere and break new ground and start over. I was also thinking about my job at the time. I was really kind of fed up and wanted to move on. So that's kind of where, you know, yeah. I don't know if that's the right way, but that's how I got the idea for that. I'm breaking new ground tomorrow. I just can't take it anymore. I'll show myself the door. Breaking new ground tomorrow. I just can't walk away no more. Breaking new ground tomorrow. I guess you won't see me around. I might just leave this town. Breaking new ground tomorrow. I'm so tired of being down. And I'm so gone that I'm not even here. Just call out my name and you'll see. Getting my ride won't even say bye. Call out my name and you see. Name and you see.
I might just change my name. Breaking new ground tomorrow. Things can never be the same. And I'm so gone that I'm not even here. Just call out my name and you'll see. Get in my ride, won't even say bye. Call on my name and you see. Call on my name and you see. Breaking new ground in another town. New ground, I'm lost and found. New ground, oh man. I get ideas for songs, you know, all different ways. I even got a line for a song from my grandson.
Yeah.
And do you want me to tell you that?
Yeah.
So one time he says, and this is my oldest one, he's 10 now. This is several years ago. He said, I know a boy who knows where the water lives. And I went, oh, hang on. And then he said, maybe I'll take you there someday. And so I went and got a piece of paper and wrote that down.
Right.
And that's the basis for a verse in a song that I do. And it's, you know, so, boy, the ideas, you know, and I keep some notebooks and I have, you know, lines that I like, ideas for songs, you know, just... words that kind of strike me, and then somehow I kind of pull it all together and mix it all up and come up with a song. But yeah, so that's how that one came about. New Ground is that I was just kind of ready for a change and wrote that and did it for years and didn't tell anybody I wrote it. I just, because I was, you know, to tell somebody you wrote a song, it's a huge step.
Sure.
Yeah, or it was for me, anyway.
I think... especially like if you're some of these gigs, like you're saying, and you're playing some cover stuff or whatever, and then like, I think that's a cool way to do it though, just like throw in an original, and then all of a sudden people are like, hey, who does it? What's that? Who's that song by? And then like, oh, that's mine. Like, I you see a lot of them like, okay, this next one's an original, and then like, or they just announce it. I think it's kind of fun to sneak it in there and see if you can blend it in with everybody else's, and nobody knows the difference. And
yeah,
like,
I did that for years.
Right. Yeah. So.
And you know, was really, you know, for a long time, it was just, I was afraid to write, you know? And I was afraid somebody would go, yeah, everything was really good except for that Newgrounds. I mean, that kind of sucked. So yeah, I did that, did the song for years. And like I told you before, my wife said, yeah, that would really sound good.
Yeah.
Who wrote that? Me. So, yeah. But, and when I did this record... So I did a crowdfunding thing, and we made the announcement it's going to be released in April of 2016, which I'm really proud of the fact that I actually released it when I said I was going to release it. But man, it was hard. So went back to Nebraska for Thanksgiving. So November of 2015, and I'm in the studio at that time doing the record. Well, I got to go back there for Thanksgiving, and I have to sing all these songs to my relatives. And that was difficult.
Yeah.
But they weren't having anything less than that, and I had to do it. And it was scary, and some of these people I'm not that close to, but I mean, we're family, you know, so we're so I had to do all my songs. And it was so encouraging. I do a song called Most All This Spring that's on the record, and it's about the flooding along the Missouri in 2011. And he came up to me and he said, yeah, he said, I make the comment about how, you know, a year has gone by, and I said, a lot of people, or he said to me, a lot of people don't realize that when these
these things happen. They don't just go away when the news stops covering them. They live with it for years. And so it was like, wow, he actually listened to what I sang.
Yeah, right.
And it was a great experience because, I mean, you know, it's kind of like you lay it all out there and then they'd come back and each one of them would say, oh, I really like this or that or like this or that.
Yeah.
So it really opened my eyes, and that's when I really thought, I'm going to have some fun with this. And, you know, I don't know if I have a lot to say, but I you know, I have emotions, and other people sure. share those same things, and so I'm going to start trying to share it in songs, and, yeah. and so enjoyed it.
So you've only been really focused on songwriting for last few years?
No, I would say for maybe six or 7 years. But when I did the album, I mean,
right.
you've got to have the songs to put on there.
Sure.
I mean, that's all I was doing, was writing songs constantly.
Yeah.
And and since then, and before then, I'd write maybe two or three a year. But a lot of them, I don't ever do. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those songs, you know, didn't make it on the album. But since then, I'm doing like two or three songs a year and not beating myself up too much if right. that's all I come up with.
I did notice getting to listen to some of these on the record, like you mentioned in Breaking New Ground, Spring, The Levee, The Flooding, like a lot of outdoors stuff. Are you pretty outdoorsy?
Oh, yeah. And on the album, there are two or three songs about the river.
Yeah.
I mean, I've lived most of my life within about a mile of the Missouri River, other than that 10 years in Nebraska. And so, yeah, I like to hang out outside. I grew up in North County and played on the banks of the Missouri River every day for I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
So really like it there, really kind of feel somewhat connected to that and the land around it. And that's why I love living in St. Charles. I'm about a mile away from the Katy Trail. I spend a lot of time on the Katy Trail. And so
did I read on your website you're a bike rider too?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, love doing that.
Yeah. We did that not too long ago. Did like a pretty good stretch on the Katy Trail by bike, and it's fun to get out there and just
do it. It is. I've done some mountain biking, and I had carpal tunnel surgery last year, so I'm not my mountain biking days may be over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, I feel, and I just read a book called The Overstory, and it's a book about trees. And when I get in trees, something changes. When I'm in the woods, something changes, and I love it. I need to take a guitar in the woods with me because I might come up with something.
Yeah.
But I love being outside. I love being on that Katy Trail. I love riding my bike, and I like the freedom of it. And I like this. I'm not a guy that likes to ride with a bunch of people. You know, I like the solitary situation of riding a bike. So it's fun.
Yeah, I had friends telling me a story once about four guys in the band. They got like a cabin in the woods for the weekend and went out and wrote a whole record and recorded it and all this stuff, and like it was just, but there's something about like just like kind of like that one, that surrounding and the, you know, and be, but being secluded out there in the, where they didn't have cell phones and all this stuff, and then we're just like, we're just focusing on the music and like, and whatever this situation inspires. And but yeah, I think there's something about that. Maybe, like I said, that would be interesting to just kind of go out there.
Well, a lot of people have done that.
Yeah.
A lot of people have done that and are very inspired by that. And like I said, I just read this really cool book, and you know, the book insinuates that trees emit chemicals, And that's why we like to be around them.
Yeah.
And that's why we feel good around them.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's an interesting book. At least that's what I took out of it. I loved, you know, I also love to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's give them one more. We also wanted to share some of the studio stuff from your record, which is available at chrisgriffithmusic.com. You can head over and we have physicals and digital you can buy through the website.
You can buy digital, and then it's on all the platforms too.
Okay. On iTunes and Spotify. And
iTunes, Spotify, yeah. Amazon, some Russian sites.
We said you wanted to share a title, Baby, I Need You.
Oh, yeah.
Any story around this one?
So the story on this song, here again, couched in a love song, but it's about a song about this devotion that people have. And as I would be driving into work in the mornings at 6:30, 6:15, I would see people out in my neighborhood walking their dogs. And then their dog would do what dogs do when they go out at 6:30 in the morning, and they would put that baggie over their hand or that bread wrapper, and they'd reach down and they'd pick up that steaming dog turd, put it in their pocket, and go on their way. At least in my neighborhood, they do that. And so the song is, it's about, I'm on the end of this leash, and, you know, the dog has no idea the devotion of the human being to the dog, but it's taking him out there and letting the dog do its thing, and the dog's just prancing around at the end of the leash.
All right.
And how us humans really need those dogs. And so here again, couched in a love song, my friend keeps saying, you need to get this to a dog food company and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know how to sell enough CDs, let alone get it to a dog food company, so I'm just not really going to worry about it. So that's kind of the whole premise behind that. Some of the lines are pretty graphic, you know, about picking up a steaming turd.
Never know where the inspiration's going.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's my story. I never know where it's going to come from. Baby, I need you, can't you see? Baby, I want you, I'll get down on my knees. I'll deal with all the strife, I need you in my life. Baby, I need you, oh, can't you see? Honey, I want you, it's sad to say. If you're not near me, it's hard to start my day. I'm discombobulated, lethargic and stagnated. Honey, I want you, it's sad to say. You know you hurt me from time to time. Can't keep myself from the scene of this crime. I'm at the end of this tethered rope. Don't know where to turn to next. I'm running out of hope. Baby, I see you, you don't see me. When we're walking down the street, your head is held up high. I'm just trying to get by. Baby, I see you, don't you see? Dying on the vine when you leave piles of your excrement behind. I'll always stop to clean up your waste. It's still steaming, but I pocket it, then I leave in haste. Baby, I love you, you just can't see. Baby, I need you, you just don't think you need me. You used to listen when I talk, now all you
want to do is walk. Baby, I love you. Can't you see? Baby, I need you. Can't you see? Baby, I see you. Oh, can't you see?
Like I said, we all that's available, chrisgriffith.com.
chrisgriffithmusic.com.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, and but you can come see Chris live. We have a lot of opportunities here locally. We'll get into some of these some of the bands and stuff you're a part of also. But you're playing on 420 with your group Main Street Remnants.
That's right.
And that'd be at the Wolf.
That'd be at the Wolf, yeah. The Wolf over in Baldwin.
Yeah. I've been over there. I did a podcast over there one night.
Oh, did you?
And with Sean Corey and
I know Sean.
Yeah, it was a real good time hanging out and but yeah, real nice little spot there. And
yep.
Yeah,
we really enjoy playing there. Play there with both. Well, the trio mostly plays there, but the duo, Hot String Soup, has played there, and I've done a solo thing there every now and then too.
Yeah. April 25th, you'll be solo at the Abbey. And
actually, I will be, that's a songwriter showcase over at the Abbey over in Belleville, and I'll be with Kenny Hall and Chris Lozano. So we'll be doing kind of a songwriter showcase thing, which I'm really looking forward to.
I don't know Chris. I know online. I haven't properly met him yet, but Ken was just at the show, and we have a great time.
I know Kenny did a podcast with Kenny and I are buddies.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's got some really funny songs. And
yes, he does.
So big shout out to Kenny. Check out his stuff if you get a chance. And but yeah, come out to that show. That's gonna be fun. And Bob puts all that on over there, right?
What was that?
Isn't Bob puts that show together?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been noticing he's bringing a lot of my friends out there to the Abbey and doing good stuff.
Well, I think it's great to have something kind of another part of the St. Louis area.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I like doing mine in Chesterfield, because it's something bringing my friends from St. Louis out to the county a little bit, doing something. So,
well, I think it's Belleville's turning into a kind of a nice little music spot.
Yeah, Belleville, Collinsville. There's a lot of great music in the alto that area. And, I go back. I do a lot of traveling for the show, and I wind up over there pretty frequently and stuff. There's a lot of great music coming from that area.
There is, and they've been overshadowed for a long time. And there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
Definitely. April 27th, Main Street Remnants again at Picasso's.
Yeah,
and that's the St. Charles.
He has two of them in St. Charles. Does it say Beale or does it say
this Main? One says MS?
Main Street. Main Street. So that's in Main Street, St. Charles.
Yeah.
And that's a place, I was actually the first person to ever play there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He had a place out in O'Fallon years ago, and I played out there, and then he opened the Main Street. And he said, I said, well, you're going to have live music. He said, live music's not going to go over down here.
Yeah.
And so I kind of bugged him, and I said, look, and I said, I'll play, and if nobody stays around and listens, don't pay me. And so it was awesome. Yeah. Everybody stayed.
Yeah.
And so he reluctantly go, okay, you're right. You know, they started booking music after that. But it was just one of those things. I just had a feeling that people were going to respond to it. And it can be a really nice listening room. You know, it's just, I've had some great nights there, and it's not huge. You know, you got to get there a little early to get a seat, but had some real fun there. So it's a great place.
Yeah. So then the next night, April 28th, you'll be solo at Picasso's on Beale.
Beale, and that's actually Sunday morning for brunch. So, and I'm really starting to enjoy playing the brunches there. It's a nice little set. It's a lot of turnaround. People will come in for an hour and then leave.
Yeah.
They get brunch and take off. But I really, I enjoy that one as well.
Yeah.
I just sit on a stool and play my songs.
There you go. So we mentioned you do solo stuff like we were talking about in the songwriting and but let's get into some of these some of the groups you said we do have Hot String Soup and Main Street Remnants.
Yeah, Main Street Remnants is a trio. Myself, Holly Barber, and Steve Krinsky. Holly is she plays upright bass, guitar, and vocals. Me on guitar, mandolin, and banjo, and then Steve on guitar, mandolin, and melodica, and dobro. And so we got to me, the great thing about this group is that, number one, we do a lot of three-part harmony. Number two, we have three people that sing lead. So not only do you get to hear three-part harmony, but you get to hear it in different configurations. And I just think it's really great for people to have the opportunity to listen to somebody for 3 hours, but hear three different styles of singing and three different types of vocals. And then we do a wide variety. I mean, we do Prince's When Doves Cry on mandolin, upright bass, and I kind of play percussion-y on the guitar. We do some jazz stuff. We do some bluegrassy sound stuff. We are all over the board.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun, and we do a lot of three-part harmony. And I think that's the strength of that group is the three-part harmonies and the variety of the vocals. The duo is Steve Krinsky from Main Street Remnants. Steve and I have known each other since high school, and we've been we played together in high school. Of course, then we went our separate ways, and we tried to figure it out the other day. It's 8 or 9 years since we've been playing together again. And we started off as a duo and did things a little differently back then. And then Hot String Soup became a trio, and his brother joined and played bass. His brother is the original bass player in the Bob Cuban Band and is the guy that wrote the song The Cheater from back in the 60s. And his brother's name is Mike Krinsky. And Mike played with us for several years. And and here again, we did a lot of three-part harmony. Unlike Main Street Remnants, you know, it was mainly Steve and I doing the main vocals, and then Mike loved to do. He was a great backup singer. And so we had that. Well, now Hot String Soup is back as a duo, and we're kind of doing, you say the word Americana, and I don't really know what that means, but we kind of do some country blues, and kind of we do a lot of my originals. Steve's a great singer, so we'll just do kind of a variety of stuff. We just like to say it's kind of toe-tapping music. And here again, I used to try to keep things really kind of in a silo of what we're doing here. I just do songs that I like.
Sure.
And I like a lot of different stuff. When I first started, you know, I loved three chords and the truth, you know. Now I kind of like to do some stuff that's a little more complicated, some jazzy sound and stuff. And so we just, you know, we just try to do good sounding songs that we sound okay singing, and we do some, you know, do a lot of harmony.
Yeah.
And we do a song where it's kind of dueling mandolins, you know, where we're both playing mandolins and doing double leads. Yeah. and then guitar and six string banjo and guitar and mando, and so we just have fun.
Yeah, I think that stuff's really neat, like you're saying about that, like doing Prince and doing it with like strings and different stuff. Like, you know, there's a certain art to doing a cover and nailing it like by the recording, but there's also, I love when people just take their own liberties with it and make their own arrangements, or, you know, change it up to where strings or whatever it is and different things to kind of make it their own, like you're saying. Putting your own stamp on it. And so I don't know, it's just always fun. I also, one of my favorite things is sometimes when you change a song enough to where like somebody's kind of listening, like, it's kind of familiar, and then all of a sudden that, you know, it gets that chorus or whatever, and everybody sings along, and all of a sudden, oh, okay, there it is. Like, oh, yeah. I know. You know, so it's just kind of fun when you can totally rearrange it to where nobody even hardly recognizes it, but then the lyric, you start listening to the lyrics, and then it makes sense. And so
yeah, we do an old 80s song. Is it called Take On Me?
Oh, yeah. Aha.
And by Aha, yeah. And it's guitar, mandolin, and upright bass. Yeah. And it's kind of almost bluegrassy sounding, but you know what the song is as soon as we start playing it. And it's fun. And a lot of times when we do that, I like to, and it's, especially if it's a song that's kind of ingrained in your head, you know, from hearing it on the radio a gazillion times. And I just don't really listen to it. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, I know how the song goes, but I'm trying to put my fingerprints on it everywhere that I can.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really can make things unique. I do a version of Midnight Rider, Greg Allman's song, but I do it on six-string banjo. And it's real haunty sounding on a six-string banjo. And you know, and I like how different it is. I like having that, you know, that just that different sound.
Yeah. So you get do you listen to much current stuff at all to play out, or do you?
I think it's interesting when somebody asks a musician what they listen to, right. And I listen to a lot of songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's current or not. Right. I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't know if this stuff is current or not.
Yeah. I just didn't. I mean, like, especially like doing coffee house stuff like that, or wherever you get people requesting, you know, different guy, you know, players or whatever. If you
I mean, I listen to people like Daryl Scott or John Gorka, which I know these aren't big time names.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that I've listened to in my past. I find it interesting. The places that I play, I don't get a ton of requests for cover music that would make me throw up to do.
Yeah.
Which, and maybe I just emit that. But I've been lucky in that, and I would say in some of these places that people are very respectful of what you're trying to do, and I think that maybe is a somewhat new thing where people are, when they hear somebody and they're doing original music, they kind of try to respect that. I try to stay, you know, I try to be picky about where I play. I mean, I'm not opposed to doing cover songs. It's, you know, but you know, a lot of places they want to just kind of hear you regurgitate what was on the record, and I don't have an interest in doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
probably couldn't do it anyway.
Yeah, I just you know, especially working in a bar, like it's funny how many people like same, you know that we have it actually carved on our stage. It says no wagon wheel, and like you know, it's funny how many people like. Well, you know, that song in particular, and there's a bunch of them, but like the same couple handful of requests like all the time, like, and
there's Wagon Wheel, there's from my day, there's Stairway to Heaven.
Sure.
And I used to, when somebody would request Stairway to Heaven, I've got a, you know, and I would play it like real quick finger picking style, and people would go, you know, they'd get this weird look on their face, and then I'd do House of the Rising Sun and that same, you know, real jumpy Chet Atkins sound, and I, you know, and I'd say, yeah, I hate both these songs.
Right. That is
House of the Rising Sun. I mean, from the, you know, the day I touched an instrument, people were asking me to play it.
Yeah,
I just don't.
I just went to Guitar Center yesterday. I was telling you, and went over there, and I There's a great scene in Wayne's World where he grabs the guitar and he does Stairway, and they immediately shut him off, and he's like, and they point to the sign, you know,
sign.
Yeah, no Stairway.
I've actually seen the no wagon wheel sign in many different places, and I really appreciate it. We in the trio, we actually do a song by Old Crow, and it's called "I Hear Them All," and it's a politically conscious song, and so we do that. If somebody asks for a wagon wheel, we give them this, you know. Right. And but I will say I have played wagon wheel a few times too many.
Yeah,
we do. You know, we haven't had that requested for a long time, and depending upon where we're playing, you know, if it's a new place, we'll play it. Sure. You know, and but we avoid it at all costs.
Yeah,
and then we make fun of the people afterwards. Yeah.
Well, you let's get one more in here. This is another live one we did called "Down Here on the Levee," which it sounded great, and especially as pretty appropriate for the day. We talking about the flooding in there, and not that today's flooding, but just all the rain we've been getting the past couple of days. Like, it just, it's definitely the creeks are on the rise. And
you bet.
So
I wrote that song at the end of 2015 in December. The end of December, we had tremendous flooding then. And I had just come back from that songwriting workshop in Nashville, so I was really fired up to. I was going to write one song a month, and that's when I wrote it. But what it did is I'm seeing on TV, and I'm seeing people filling sandbags down in Eureka and Valley Park, and it just jogged something in my head. And though we had a lot of flooding in '93, and I actually mentioned 93 in the song, back in 1973 we had flooding along the Missouri, and I lived up in North County, and this is how long ago this was. You could get out of school to go fill sandbags back in 1973, which I thought was an awesome idea. Anything to get out of school. So I got out of school, and I went down to that levee, and I was filling sandbags, and I got quite the education, and I wrote this song, you know, "Down Here on the Levee," and it was number one, it was dangerous because they were afraid you're going to fall in the river, and they, you know, find you in New Orleans in a couple days or something.
Right.
But there were some seedy characters down there, and it was hard work. And it was my first brush with hard labor. I was still in high school, and it was my first run-in with really hard labor, which I've been running away from it ever since. But I came up with that song, like number one, they were afraid people are going to fall in. There were fights. people. You know, where, why am I here? And basically, when they got you down there, they just didn't want to let you go.
Yeah.
And all we could do was just hope to get through the end of the day. But it was interesting how in 2015, how that jogged this ancient memory of something in 1973. I was 18 years old then. So it's a, sadly, it's a song that becomes current every now and then. And, you know, from what I saw today, it's like, you know, in a couple of days we could be back with a tremendous amount of flooding.
Yeah.
And so it's, and here again, like I mentioned before, you know, it'll be in the news, but when the waters go down, there's still all that damage, and it just takes years to recover from it. And and here again, I do have this somehow I got this connection to the river, and I do think about it often. And when I lived in Nebraska, I was really lonely for rivers. They only have like one big river there. But yeah, so that's how I came up with the idea for that one.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it just kind of, it was really neat because just it really came back very vividly, and I had kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah. And,
I'm soaked to the bone, and I give both my teeth just to spend some time at home. Down here on the levee, the river's running free. We've not seen the likes of this since 1993. And that makes my head spin around and round. Takes me back in time to a levee on this river town. And I ask myself, why do I stay in this place by the river? Do I stay in this place? Looking grim. It's rained so much that some round here have come totally unhinged. And there are fights up on the levee, and the river's not the foe. They take a tumble down the banks, and the river claims its toll. There they go. Bye bye. There's nothing much to do except shovel bags of sand and dirt and pay the devil what he's due. And it seems like that he wants more and more with the river's rising tide. Most all of us we plan to leave before the sun will rise on this levee.
Joe Bozzelli. Pretty good friends with Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he wrote on one of these I saw online something about that you were one of the reasons like he wanted to be a songwriter, which I thought that was some pretty high praise.
I didn't even have to pay him. Joe has said that on many occasions,
right.
And which I was real surprised to hear that. He heard me do an instrumental. I think it was at an open mic somewhere. And I did this instrumental. And you know, there aren't many people doing instrumental music out there. And so I did this instrumental, and it was a real hard driving, you know, just kind of a flying fingers kind of a thing. And he said, yeah, it's not the reason he became a songwriter, but the reason he started playing the guitar.
Oh, okay, guitar, yeah.
Yeah, because he saw that and he wanted to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And which I just think, you know, Joe is such a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a big sweetie.
And he actually, he was doing a Songbird Cafe, I guess a year ago.
Yeah.
And he told everybody that story, and then he got me up, and I did down here on the levee.
All right.
At the Songbird Cafe. There's a time in their showcase where they do a song that they wish they had written, and Joe never does that. He always gets somebody else to perform. I didn't know that. So I got up, and I did Down Here on the Levee, And but yeah, he's I don't know, you were going to bring that up, but yeah, he said that, and yeah. it's I'm very honored that somebody heard me play and decided they wanted to play the guitar.
Yeah. So, that's got to feel good, man.
It does. It really does.
And especially, I mean, you know, I just think that's the cool part about music. And like you're saying, you never know who's listening sometimes at some of these shows. And like the fact that you could inspire Joe or anybody to play, and then they go inspire somebody else. And the, you know, the ripple effect that you could have on a, you know, everybody. So I think that's a really something need to think about.
I agree, and I think, gosh, there's a really nice community of guys like Joe and Kenny Hall, and you know, there's just a lot of really great people around here, and we gotta prop each other up, because at times it can be a very frustrating endeavor, and so but we enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Like I said, if I wouldn't be doing it out and about, I'd be doing it here in this room. So I'm going to be doing it regardless. I can't not do it.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. So. Will you, again, come out and see Chris live? We have Facebook and Instagram. You can get involved socially and see more shows. Again, check out the website, chrisgriffithmusic.com. We'll have everything up there. And you also do like a blog type of stuff. And
yeah, I've got a little blog on my website that I should be a little better at. And Instagram, I do what I call messy desk concerts. And I'll just post something up and whatever I feel like doing. Not a whole lot of structure to it. So.
But this has been an incredible time, and I really appreciate you doing this.
I enjoyed it.
Taking some time out to talk with me, and let's do it again sometime soon, man.
You bet.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.